Hello and welcome to Brainwaves, bringing tabletop news to your ear holes because we can. My name is Ian McAllister.
I'm Sam Max.
And I'm Jamie Adams. And here are the headlines for the week beginning the 2nd of April 2018. Harry Potter miniatures game, the saga continues. Ultimate Werewolf Legacy, have we reached peak legacy time? And Asmodee announces an entertainment division. All this and more. But first of all, Sam, you got some news from Games Workshop, I believe, at Adepticon?
I do. Lots of stuff coming out of Games Workshop at Adepticon. Least of all is Fish Elves. So this is the...
Woo!
It's so cool. It's kind of cool. I don't know. We'll get onto it. The Idoneth Deepkin have been revealed. These have been hinted at for something like 20 years. Started off as like a joke saying like fishmen.
They were mentioned in, I believe it's the first or second edition of Warhammer Fantasy Battle, as, again, it was a throwaway reference. And, yeah, they've been just bubbling under the surface.
Yeah, and with Age of Sigmar, in the past year or so, I think, it's been kind of a lot more heavily mentioned and heavily hinted at. And then over the past few months, there's been some hint videos. And now we've finally got this Idoneth Deepkin revealed. And it's kind of cool and kind of not. I don't know. For me, I wanted them to be more fish elves than elves that live under the water.
I mean, the big turtle is pretty cool.
The big turtle is awesome. I think,
but the new GW big miniatures are a bit mad. They're so big.
Of course they are. It's like you know, you go up to 11 for this. Let's make it big. Let's make it wacky.
Don't look at my turtle.
I think the miniatures are cooler the more fish things there are. So, like, the basic infantry are fine, but they're just kind of elves.
I'm looking at the guy on the wave right now with the little fishies beside him. That's a cool.
See, miniature. That's fantastic. Cool. I love that.
And then
that
there's
wave.
Guys riding eels, guys riding sharks. And then there's like a scribe with an octopus with a shiv, which is just the best one of them all. It's like, I might not have a weapon, but my octopus is like eight weapons.
My octopus is loaded for bear.
But why only one shiv? You've got eight arms.
It has got a club. It's got like a mace. I don't know if you've seen that as well. What's on the other side of it.
I can see that. It's got a mace. Okay, that's good.
I mean, I picked up Shadespire at the end of last year because it seems actually quite good. I've played a couple of games of it. I haven't played as much as I'd want to, but it seems quite cool. But they have announced that, because some people were thinking like Shadespire was coming to an end with the last couple of expansions because the card numbering had run out, but they've said, no, there's more coming.
I picked it up in February, played a few games lately. So I've got the Corsair and I've got the Orcs because I've got a Iron Jaws army as well. And again, completely what they should be doing, and it's fantastic. Everything you buy in Shadespire has stats for Age of Sigmar, so you can bring everything into both games, and it's great.
Cool.
Over the past kind of few years, like, they've been referred to as the new Games Workshop. They're very much like a different company now. You know, you've got the community pages, you've got a lot more interaction with customers, and customer feedback is now a thing for Games Workshop, which
I was gonna say, it was a major change in head of management. And
you know, absolutely,
with that, it brought that, you know, for years there was like almost, as you said, there was no community feedback, there was no dedicated forum anymore. After a few years, they'd shut it down. And yeah, just a complete 180 with the painting tutorial videos with the lovely Duncan. And this wonderful engagement with the community. And, you know,
announcing things at Adepticon, like actually going to conventions and actually being part of that and doing things and announcing things. And
well, yeah, they're a major sponsor for Games Expo this year.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they are like a banner sponsor for Games Expo this year. And that is like, in the last 10 years, that is unheard of from GW.
Absolutely.
They were at Expo last year with a big stall showing off their stuff. Mm. And they've really changed. I mean, they also announced Adepticon, like, a card game from the PlayFusion folks, which are like the same folks that are doing Lightseekers, and it sounds like they're going to do a lot of integrated stuff as
well.
I think
this is really interesting now, and I think this gets it. This may be, for me at least, what I'm seeing from this is like the crossing over of, it's definitely a step in the right direction of it's Games Workshop being a games company and not being a models company, which is exactly the right thing.
I can't believe we haven't mentioned the biggest announcement from Adepticon, and that is after the mimetic quality of many years, finally Plastic Sisters of Battle have been announced.
Yeah, so this, again, was something like the Fishmen that people just kept saying, just kept going on about and making a thing. And I think it's that finally kind of listening to your customers and knowing that that's something that they want. Ian, I believe you've got a bit more news from Asmodee.
Well, yeah, Asmodee, our glorious game overlords, have recently announced that they are opening an entertainment division to turn their franchises into films. Now, I know that a few years ago that Catan was optioned, which means absolutely nothing in terms of Hollywood, but basically someone's bought the rights to produce a Catan film down the line, and I think Monopoly as well. But now Asmodee have said, like, yeah, we're actually going to produce some films from our product, so we might be seeing things like stuff off the H.P. Lovecraft license, the Arkham license. I'd suspect them seeing into that kind of thing. And alongside Fantasy Flight's announcement at the end of last year that they were going to be doing an entertainment division, they've been recruiting for computer programmers for a little while. And now that they've actually put out that they are going to be producing basically app versions of some of their games. And the first one to come out of that is going to be the Lord of the Rings LCG turned into an app, which I'm really interested in because I never got into the LCG at all, but I'm really, really interested by an app.
So I've got a big collection of Lord of the Rings RCG, played it for a load of years. The app looks a bit disappointing. It looks a bit too watered down and it looks too much of a Hearthstone copy, but only time can tell. You know, it's really early days for the app.
I mean, there's like the Jinteki.net, which is the sort of like unofficial Netrunner online, is intensely popular. So if they actually made a proper Netrunner
Absolutely, yeah.
app, that yeah. would be amazing. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
but yeah, so yeah, I don't know what we'll see out of Asmodee Entertainment. The details are pretty sparse right now.
What you will see, because it's not just feature films, it's they're hoping to create feature films, TV series, comics, and graphic novels based on its products. At least that's what they say in the press release. So
that's a lot. Yeah,
I think
I don't know how much I believe in that. I mean, I understand that's their ambition, but that's a lot of pots to stir all at once.
The exciting thing for me about this is that more than any other, I suppose, board game film that's been made now. So what we've got, Cluedo, Battleships, and I don't know what else has been made. And they're not some a lot.
I mean,
board games
there was a Battleship film.
Yeah, no, absolutely, that exists.
That is a film that existed.
But what's exciting for me about Asmodee and Fantasy Flight going into this is actually so many of the games they have the licenses for are story-driven games.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So if
I mean,
you look
like, they've got the Star Wars license, for instance, from Fantasy Flight. Obviously, Asmodee aren't going to produce their own Star Wars film, because that would be
But something like Lovecraft
a bit mad.
Absolutely lends itself to multimedia
yeah.
things.
I mean, I can absolutely see an Arkham TV series.
Yeah, and if it's done well, it would be absolutely fantastic.
You guys know my love for the Arkham Horror LCG. It is absolutely fantastic. I write about it all the time on the blog. It is a really good game. They have a really good understanding of how to manipulate story mechanically. The question is whether they can take that to TV.
Oh, no, so you say you'd really like to see, obviously, Arkham TV, Arkham Film, whatever that might be.
I don't know if I'd like to see it, but I can totally see
it being
a thing.
It would be really good, but, like, I don't know, like, obviously, Fantasy Flight for years have been writing Arkham novels and all sorts of things in that kind of Arkham Files. And they've recently done the new novellas for the Arkham LCG, where you get cards for the game. But
yeah,
I'd definitely
I've got one of those that I haven't read yet.
Yeah, I'd definitely
the reports
be
have not been great.
I'd definitely be up for seeing graphic novels for Arkham, though, as well. I think it's just the perfect setting for those kind of things, and you can take it all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes. Anyway, Jamie, you have some news about Ultimate Werewolf Legacy.
I do. Ultimate Werewolf from Betsier Games, from Ted Alsbach, the designer of Castles of Mad King Ludwig, a game I very much enjoy, and Rob Davio, the one-stop shop for Legacy games. Betsier Games has announced Ultimate Werewolf Legacy. It's going to be released in August at this year's Gen Con, and it's currently available for pre-order, so at least we know when it's coming out. Basically, it's a game of werewolf, except...
It goes on forever.
With a legacy mechanic. There's a series of chapters. It's about, five chapters with three games in each chapter and an introductory one. So it's going to take about 16 games of Werewolf.
Yay, that sounds...
Oh, that's a lot though, isn't it?
Legacy is like a really interesting thing to me because I picked up Gloomhaven recently and I'm playing through that with a group and that is so good. Gloomhaven is fantastic. But I was listening to the Unlucky Frog Gaming podcast recently and they said something quite interesting, which is Legacy is essentially just an evolution of campaign mechanics from like Mighty Empires and things we knew. And it's essentially just a narrative campaign, basically. And to an extent, like the Arkham Horror LCG, which we were talking about earlier in the cast, I would say that has some legacy elements in it as well. Your deck sort of evolves over time and your characters take damage and that kind of thing over the course of a particular campaign and story. There's definitely a tendency in gaming when a mechanic becomes popular to shove it into everything. So like Pandemic saw a lot of cooperative games suddenly pop up. And now we're seeing like legacy shoehorned into everything. Like, are we going to get Legacy Double? Is that next?
Something Legacy.
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
I'd play it. I'd play so much Double Legacy.
Once you've smashed this card, burn it.
Burn it forever. Great. Rip up this card.
First
now there's
person
one
to burn
card that has
all
nothing.
Their cards. One thing I've noticed in the article, this is on the publisher's site, about Werewolf Legacy, not Double Legacy. It just says players. It doesn't say how many players, because when I think of a game of Werewolf, I think of like 10 people almost minimum. You know, you want players for a game of Werewolf. But when you're talking about Legacy, 16 games of Werewolf, like, I take it you're not going to be able to play this in an evening? Like, I almost...
It says each chapter can be played in an evening.
In a single evening. Okay, and there's five
chapters.
Wait a minute,
no, not each chapter. It can't be each chapter. No, I was going to say, sorry. I did that wrong.
Each chapter can be played in a single evening, yeah.
But each chapter? Is that like multiple games of Werewolf?
Yeah, that's three sessions in one chapter.
Okay.
Three games of Werewolf in a night's fine.
It's also interesting, it says players can jump in and out.
Literally?
Which is quite... It's apparently.
Like a hokey cookie?
Indeed. That's really...
It turns out the
hokey cookie is what it's all about.
It's what it's all about, yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
And there's a diary that comes with the game, and it kind of logs the village that you are in. It logs the progress of the village and their fight against the werewolves. And again, legacy mechanics, the village is apparently going to change. Players will get special cards, like secret cards.
That's cool as well. On the diary it says 1688 to 1717.
Very nice.
I like things like that because it is, where's that story going to take you? But again, for me, with those legacy games, with campaign games, and I don't know how it is for you, Ian, playing Gloomhaven, but it's like, how long is this going to take us? How many players do we want this to be? Because it's exactly the same with role-playing. Like, how long are we going to be able to keep this up as a group?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting question, because, like, with Gloomhaven, I don't know how long it's going to take us to in air quotes, to finish Gloomhaven. We're about...
So are you four people playing?
Yeah, we're four people playing. We're about five sessions in. You can read about the adventures of my Cragheart Llama on my website. On the website, we'll link that in the show notes. But yeah, it's really good. I think the problem I have with like legacy mechanics or any mechanic being shoehorned into a game is that the core of that game has to be really good. So Gloomhaven is a really good dungeon crawler game and has a fantastic core mechanic.
Yeah.
And the legacy stuff is just a sort of sweetener on top of that. It's the icing on the cake. There's a really interesting thing there on top. Like to answer the question, we were sort of like driving at whether we'd reach peak legacy or not. I don't think we have yet. I just think that designers need to be careful about shoehorning that mechanic into games for the sheer sake of selling their game.
I think as well, I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's that if you put legacy on something, people are going to take notice. Whereas like Gloomhaven, you're saying it's got that legacy aspect and element, but it was never marketed as a legacy game. It's just campaign game.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are apps that exist that allow you to play it with multiple groups.
Like, are you going to call a D&D book a campaign book? Is that a legacy game? But like, once you've played it, like...
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Legacy is essentially an extension of that stuff, of that campaign play that we've known for decades.
Yeah. So if you can describe legacy as that kind of one play and you've played it, it's kind of like, well, you are just putting legacy on a box to sell a game, you know? Like, what does legacy really mean anymore? Like, it started with Pandemic. No, it didn't. It started with Risk Legacy. Yeah, and that was kind of just an idea that kind of took off, really. And then they did Pandemic Legacy. And, even Rob Davio and Matt Leacock have said, like, they didn't really envision it being this grand thing. They just thought, yeah, we'll do Pandemic Legacy. And then it's like, well, we called it season one, so I guess we'll do season two. Yeah. And then it kind of keeps going. And it's like, well, again, what is Peak Legacy? What does that even mean? What does Legacy mean? Is it just something to whack on a box?
Yeah, I mean, I think to an extent, Legacy is something to whack on a box. Campaign mode is the thing that matters. And it's that story stuff coming out of a game that really matters to me. I'm talking about story games. Sam has a bit of news about Fog of Love.
I do. Now, Jamie, this is a game that you and I have come to adore over the past few months.
Oh, yes.
Nothing quite like it is what we were saying. There's nothing like it. Is it a board game? Is it a simulation? What's it trying to do? I don't know. I think it's different for everyone, but I think that's kind of what it's saying. And in the box, there is space for more. And it very much tells you what that more is going to be in the form of a number of expansions. Basically, those expansions are coming up over the course of the year. So the one I'm looking for most is Paranormal Relationship. I think you can agree with me there, Jamie.
Oh, yeah. Paranormal Romance. I cannot wait.
And just what does that mean? What's that going to entail? I don't know. It's hopefully takes the game in a different direction that it's never really been in. Ian, you haven't really looked much into or played Fog of Love.
No, I mean, I don't really understand the appeal at all. So I'm like, a rom-com simulator just sounds a bit dull to me, really.
It's not dull. It's quite hard to explain. As I was saying, it's kind of like, I don't know, there's nothing quite like it, is there, Jamie? It's kind of like...
No, it's hard to describe.
It is. I saw a description of it the other day. I saw a description of it on the other day on TV. I think the best thing to do is probably just play that.
Play it on a podcast. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. We'll just run that, and I think it will give you a good idea of what that is. It won't take long.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Let's do that.
Thank you, please. No, thank you. Welcome to the show. Thank you. Good morning, and as ever, a big, big welcome to the Kerem E. Giles Show. Now, we're kicking off today's show with Brian and Jed Wiener. Brian claims Jed Wiener has cheated on him with his best friend, Alex. This comes after Brian found a text on Jed Wiener's phone revealing her secret. He got in touch with the show to settle this once and for all. Everybody, Brian's on the Kerem E. Giles Show. Let's bring him out. Huge round of applause for Brian there, everybody. Brian, sit down. How are you? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks for coming on. Glad you can be here. Right, big day. First of all, how long have you and Jed Wiener been together?
We've known each other since high school, but we've only been together for 4 months or so, yeah, something like that. Yeah, about 4 months.
So it's been going a while. You've been getting on with each other, but now that's not the case. What's going on? Tell the story.
Well, she had left her phone on the bed one time when she was in the shower, and it started buzzing. So, you know, like you might, yeah, I took a little look, and it was my best friend Alex. And they'd only met a few times before that, so I thought that was a bit odd. And I kept reading, I found out they were having an affair.
Right, let me get this straight. You've been together a couple of months. She's only met Alex a handful of times, and now you found out she's cheating on you with him? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. At first I tried to ignore it. I thought it had to be a mistake, but... But then I remember about the time they were alone together. I thought nothing had happened, but she hasn't been the same since.
Well, Brian, she sounds like a nasty piece of work, but it's time to get her side of the story. Jed Wiener's on the Kerem E. Giles Show, everybody. Big hand. Let's get around.
Hey, leave it. All right, leave it. Okay, enough of you. Like, enough of your f***ing lip, all of you. You, what the f***? I don't think I know. See you again, all right? Look, Kerem E., I don't know why you brought him on here, right? He is a nasty, nasty piece of work, right? We went to IKEA together.
You're nasty.
I went to IKEA with you, and I wanted to get one big table, but no, you didn't want anything. You just wanted to sit around and get the meatballs. That's all you wanted.
You know that. You dragged me there anyway.
Yeah, don't get me started on things that you don't like. The toilet seat, right? I'll leave it down, but you, because you're a man, you cannot deal with it. You got to keep it up.
It's more convenient for me that way.
No, it's not.
We've got two toilets. You could use the other one.
Oh, you're talking about convenience.
Right, sit down.
Come on, sit down. All right, Kerem E. I'm cool.
Back to the texts. He says one thing and you say another. Look, Jed Wiener, what is going on?
Nothing's going on, Kerem E., right? Okay, I have been very fine to him, okay? Despite the fact we went to IKEA, and I wanted to get a couple of tables. No, nothing major. A couple of tables, a couple of chairs, a couple of bookshelves, a couple of Cadillac shelves. And what did he want? Nothing. He just wanted to get some meatballs.
That's interesting, Jedwina, because there's a few things that we haven't started to discuss yet. Because me and Brian were talking backstage. Brian, is it true that Jedwina asked you to convert to her religion?
Yeah, and I've been willing to do that for her, Karami. Yeah, absolutely. She's asked me to, and I love her so much that I'm willing to make that change for her. I mean, I don't particularly believe in the Jedi, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice for her.
There is an all-consuming force, okay?
Look, we're not here to talk about that. We're not here to talk about that. Jedwina, it seems you're quite pushy in this relationship. Brian's not always getting what he wants. Brian, would it be fair to say that that's the truth?
It's certainly been wearing on me quite a lot, Karami. She's a strong woman. Maybe she's too much for me. I don't know. It's certainly been coming to a head of recent.
Oh, you hear that? He realizes I'm too strong for him. He's a weak man. You hear that, Karami? You hear that? All right, all of you, shut up. All right, don't get me started on the midichlorians, right? And there is someone else I haven't told him, and I'm revealing here for you, for him. Okay, you ready, Karami? I might be pregnant.
What?
Well, it just so happens, Jedwina, we here at the Karami Giles Show, we know the truth. We find the truth, we get the truth. Brian, do you want to know the truth?
Of course I want to know the truth. I want to know what's going on.
Well, we're going to have to find out. After the break. Oh. Everybody come back in 5 minutes for more of the Karami Giles Show.
Okay, so I'm interested. I'm convinced that it can simulate that kind of relationship over the course of the game. Is that right?
More or less. Well, the relationship kind of goes wherever almost you want it to go. But throughout the whole game, I think the best way to do it is to really role play the character you create at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Like really leave yourself behind and go on this journey of who this person is. You've got the destiny cards that are going to show you where you kind of want to end up and you play there. And I think the really clever thing is that relationship does evolve. At the beginning, it's very much kind of...
Sounds fascinating.
You're playing very kind of sweet scenarios is what they're called, which is like the small things, going out on little dates, finding out who that person is. And as you go on, it gets more serious. And then you can start being, well, you know, do I really want to give more in this relationship or do I want to take more in this relationship?
Well, you've got Copy Sam, so you should bring it over sometime and we can have a relationship.
Oh,
absolutely,
baby.
We totally should.
Oh, yeah.
Mix and beb.
Anyway, before we switch to the weather segment of the show, here's a little word from our sponsors. Hello. Do you have trouble losing weight? Find that you just can't quite find the room to fit another one in? Keep eyeing up the latest, juiciest new thing in the shop window? Well, we are here to help at the Scottish Tabletop Acquisition Prevention Programme. Here at our specialist facilities in Edinburgh, Scotland, you'll find experts looking to help you resist the urge to buy new games, reduce your collection, and get down your average Calyx unit, AKU, to a reasonable and most importantly, manageable level. As we all know, AKU is measured by the number of games in your collection divided by the number of individual spaces in the Calyx units you have inevitably bought to store them in. I myself have a relatively low AKU of 5. But we can all do better to reduce our collections to a manageable and active gaming lifestyle. Take Jeff here.
Hello everyone.
Jeff used to have an AKU of 10 with games spilling out over his house until he caused the tragic death of a household pet.
Actually, it was my wife.
Now over this loss. Jeff is doing his best to get his collection down to a much more manageable size with our patented When Did You Last Play That program? Our Do You Really Need That? Consultants. And is working alongside our dedicated staff, who are at all times armed with a shredder. It's not easy letting go of cherished possessions, but we all need to, and we here at STAP will help you choose what you need and what you don't. Do you really need another worker placement game? You have 10 already. How many deck builders can one person play? There's only so much time in the world for wargames, isn't there? If your pile of shame is particularly high and you have more games than your local shop, we also have our STAP Intense Training Programme, STAP It. Yes, here at STAP, we can tackle the most intense acquisition disorders or merely help you form a healthy connection to your collection. The journey can be a hard one, but we here at STAP believe that it is one worth taking, and we are ready to take it with you.
I did it, and you can too.
Hi there. welcome to the Weather Report. Our forecast for the crowdfunded games that have kind of caught our eye recently. Now, Ian, I believe you have the first one.
Well, yes. So I've got a little weather report from the far future, the apocalypse. A good friend of mine, Mark McKinnon, is currently crowdfunding his game Wreck and Ruin on Kickstarter. And this is a game that reminds me very much of the sort of early GW affairs, things like Gorkamorka, Necromunda, that kind of thing. A sort of slightly chaotic, slightly sort of a really sort of battle in a box kind of game. Really good fun. Fighting over turf and territory in a post-apocalyptic world. He's got fantastic little miniatures with little pegs in them that show the damage on the miniatures. So at all times, you've sort of got a visual representation of how screwed that vehicle across the table is from you. And he is currently running at just over 10k out of the 15k he needs to fund. And he just needs that last sort of little punch from people to really fund that game, really see it through to the end. And I think it's a fantastic little game. It's really good fun. And I've personally backed it, and I think you should as well. Sam, you've got some information about the Harry Potter's miniatures game, which has gone to Kickstarter or not.
Yeah, gone to Kickstarter, didn't go to Kickstarter.
Who knows?
Went to retail, didn't go to retail. So this is the Harry Potter Adventure Miniatures game. Have I got that right? No, I haven't. It's the Harry Potter Miniatures Adventure Game, I think is what they finally said.
It's very important to get those words in the correct order.
Absolutely. You know, you don't want to get it confused with any other Harry Potter Miniatures Adventure Game product. This is coming from Night Models. Their biggest game that they put out is the Batman Miniatures game, which does very well, you know, and actually looks fantastic. Recently got a second edition, new models coming out in coloured resin, looks really nice. Got the, obviously have an agreement with Warner Brothers, and they got the Harry Potter license. And now this is a game that was first hinted at existing in the summer of 2016. Went quiet for ages, then resurfaced a couple months back in a gear up to a Kickstarter that the very week that the Kickstarter was going to start, they said, not Kickstarter anymore.
Okay.
Go to our website and pre-order it. So that's why it's kind of in here, because it's, well, should you pre-order this game or not? And looking at it, it's very, I don't think they're too sure on what this game is, what this game's going to be. So it's some of the very early sculpts, I think, like Bellatrix Lestrange, Voldemort looks absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And then they were teasing Dumbledore for ages, and then they finally revealed Dumbledore. And again, much like a lot of the sculpts, he's just a guy standing up with his wand out.
You are.
And no, yeah, I'm with you. It's just really, frankly, disappointing, really. You know, so all in, Harry Potter game is €300. That's a huge chunk of money. Like, as a miniatures game, as a miniatures gamer, it's not a huge chunk of money. You know, if you think about miniatures and stuff. But like, who are you aiming at this? Are you aiming this at the Harry Potter market? Because that, I don't think, is full of people who are prepared to sit, build, scrape off mold lines, paint models to then learn a board game for £300. You know, I think it's a really interesting thing.
Anyway, I think Jamie has got some news on dinosaurs. Lots and lots of lovely dinosaurs.
Lots and lots of dinosaurs. Actually, we're speaking about successful Kickstarters just there. Coming up from San Antonio, Texas, and about 65 million years ago, it's Dinosaur Island Back from Extinction by Pandasaurus Games. Now, Dinosaur Island went to Kickstarter last year. It got quite a lot of money. It got quite a lot of hype from it. By all accounts, you know, it was seen as a very good game. Full disclosure, I backed it for the first edition, so I have a deluxe copy sitting on my shelf.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous.
It's very pretty. It came with metal coins. And now Pandasaurus has brought Dinosaur Island back to Kickstarter. It's Dinosaur Island Back from Extinction, and it's a Kickstarter. But there's three different products that are actually being or hoping to be funded. It is Dinosaur Island is getting reprinted. There is Dinosaur Island Totally Liquid, which is the first expansion from them, which is bringing in water dinosaurs and some more ways to kind of develop your park. So you've got Blueprints now, which is or park extension. It's a new extension, a unique way to points. It's kind of how you set up your park to get certain points. New workers. New special things like a mega
new race, everything.
Stuff like that.
Like, everything's just gorgeous. Yeah. Like,
everything's looking good. I mean, I know that the 90s very kind of neon artwork has turned off a lot of people. Personally, I quite enjoy it, but I'm again, that's me.
Yeah, I think it's lovely. I really like the different style of it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So Dinosaur Island Totally Liquid, and the two-player only version of the game, Dulosaur Island, which is a slightly different game. So these are the three games that are being kickstarted.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to be backing it again, Jamie? Are you going to is there a pledge level to get the extra stuff for someone who's backed it before?
So yeah, you can get each of the products individually. You can get Dulosaur and Totally Liquid. You can get Dinosaur Island and Totally Liquid. You can get Dinosaur Island and Dulosaur Island, and you can get all three together.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of the game, Jamie? Do you think people should back it this time around, get in on it?
I've played quite a few games of it. I quite enjoy it. I mean,
it's a ringing endorsement there.
Light. No. It's a light to medium weight worker placement game. The artwork's really nice. The dice for the DNA, the DNA that you. You not drafting as such, but you roll and it's kind of random generation of what DNA you'll get every turn, and the DNA you need to create the dinosaurs. It's really nice.
I'd say graphic design and component quality aside, it still is kind of this mid to heavy Euro, and yeah. I don't think people should forget about that.
I don't know. I don't know about heavy.
Quite heavy, but it's still a Euro. It's still got all of those quite Euro tropes, and I think if you like that, definitely go for. I'm not huge on Euro games. I'm not once you've played one of them, you've played them all, because I've played a few that are quite different and things have different things. But this is definitely, this does its theme well.
Yeah, but back it, yay or nay, Jimmy?
Me, back it, yay. Back it, yay.
Okay, but before we round up tonight, I think Sam's got a little bit of extra news about Catan going into virtual reality.
This is probably the best piece of news I think we're ever going to get all year, to be honest. I think we're starting on a high, and I don't think we can beat this. Catan in VR. Why would you even... I don't know.
It's what all those people who've bought a £700 virtual reality headset have been waiting for.
It must be.
It's Star Trek Bridge Crew and this.
The best thing about the picture that I loved is... I think there's definitely room for... things like Tabletop Simulator and playing board games on the computer. You know, first part of my relationship with my partner, it was long distance for 3 years. We're not playing physical board games together over 3 years of long distance relationship, and Tabletop Sim was fantastic. Cool. If you add an extra element to that in VR, why not? I'm all for that. I think experiences are fantastic. With VR headsets being in the hundreds of pounds, is it worth it? I don't know. Probably not, just to be able to play some Catan.
It's a really expensive set of Catan. it's a £2,000 set of Catan if you buy VR headsets for everyone, plus the computers to go with them.
It's out now. It's already out. It's $10.99 on Oculus Rift and $7.99 on Gear VR.
Yeah.
But you can also customize the room, the VR room that you're in for...
And I love things like that.
But why wouldn't one play Catan on Jupiter or something?
I totally would. It's exactly. The closest you're going to get. But my favourite thing about the picture is obviously they're showing it off at this expo, whatever it was, over the weekend. It was obviously it's made for people over the world or in different houses. And it was just four people sat around an actual board of Catan with Oculus Rift headsets.
Just why have you bothered? And anyway, I think that's about all we have time for this week on Brainwaves. So until next time, thanks very much for listening. It's a goodbye from Sam.
Goodbye from Ian.
And it's a goodbye from Jamie.
If you like what you've listened to today, then please help us out by sharing the podcast around, rating us on your podcast platform of choice, or merely just letting us know you enjoyed it. You can also follow us on Twitter, at The Giant Brain, Instagram, Giant Brain UK, Facebook, The Giant Brain, or just go straight to our website, giantbrain.co.uk. Thanks very much for listening.